to live righteously.
It's time for another episode of the Cultural Hall. It's me, Richie T, and coming up in the second and third block, we'll be visiting with Robert McIntosh. He is the author of Choosing Your Eternal Companion, Decoding the Dating Game Using the Family Proclamation. And right now, though, right here in the opening exercises, we've got Michael Mann. He is doing a Kickstarter right now for a game called Mormons versus Zombies. Thanks for joining me, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
Now, people will be able to go to theculturalhall.com and in association with this episode, be able to find your Kickstarter link. So let's just reference people to theculturalhall.com. Tell me how you came up with this idea.
Well, it was actually from my wife. She was cleaning out my father-in-law's storage room with her mom and moving the food storage around and things like that. And she's like, man, I think my parents are prepared for the zombie apocalypse. And then she got thinking about it. She's like, that would actually be a really awesome game, Mormons versus Zombies. So a couple of years later, here we are. We're trying to develop the game and get things going. And we have a Kickstarter and a really, really fun game to play, or on the verge of a fun game to play. So we're excited about that.
Tell me a little bit about, besides the fact that you should be really lucky you have an awesome wife like that, a little bit about yourself.
I'm an audio engineer. So I'm the sound designer for the game, the music composer. Been in the audio industry for a really long time and had multiple paths and super excited about this current path that I'm on.
So are you not the one that's actually like designing the game itself and the characters? Who's doing that?
We have an artist. His name is Dan Hughes. And then I've been in the process. There are four of us involved in the game. So there's my wife, there's Dan Hughes, my wife Jana, Dan Hughes, Christy Hughes is his wife, and then myself. And we, all four of us, have developed the game, came up with the concept, designed all six characters that are going to be playable. Dan is the one that has done the art, but it's based on all of our ideas.
So talk a little bit about the concept for the game, because I thought it was pretty clever.
Well, the concept for the game is the world's food source gets contaminated, and the only people that end up surviving are the Mormons. Because of our year, because the church teaches us that we should have a year's supply of food storage, and we find out that conventional weapons don't work. And so the game, basically you enter the game, and it is about a year later, and the Mormons are running out of food storage, so they're making a plan to journey to Welfare Square, where there's an endless food supply of uncontaminated food. And in the process, they've learned that they have unconventional weapons like green jello, a tie whip, a boomerang folding chair that that battles the zombies to help them get there.
And of course, I appreciated that you had to go with the green jello. Some people would say overused. I think in a game like this, it is a mandatory expectation to have the green jello.
Oh, absolutely. Green jello is key.
Metal shards instead of carrot shards in that jello, or are we going just straight Puritan green jello?
We're going green jello, and there will be some with carrots, but we're not doing metal shards because metal would be more of a conventional zombie killing thing.
Okay.
And so we're going completely unconventional, just to make the game absolutely unique and unlike anything else.
Talk about the characters, too, because I thought that was pretty fun.
Well, we have a Relief Society lady.
Of course.
And she's the one that battles with the green jello. But she has a defensive weapon, which is her Relief Society arms, which allows her to hover over the zombies and maneuver away. There's a Elders Quorum secretary, and he has the boomerang folding chair that attacks the zombies, but then he also has a moving box that he can jump into and the zombies will go by. And, you know, very traditional. As an elder, you end up moving and setting up chairs a heck of a lot, and that seems like your entire life.
Absolutely.
There's a scout. He has a bow drill that creates an instant fire.
A bow drill?
And that scares the zombies away.
Is a bow drill, is that like a bow from like a bow and arrow, and then like the piece of wood that you go back and forth to start a fire? Is that a bow drill?
Yeah, pretty okay. Similar to that. Yeah, okay. It's like a small version, but yes.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Oh, no, you're fine. And then he uses his merit badges as throwing stars.
Cool.
there's a young woman, and she has a ring of righteousness. We can't really use the CTR ring, so we call it the ring of righteousness, and that creates a force field around her. And then she uses her young women value beads to create a laser rainbow that shoots at the zombies.
Is her name Laurel?
Yes.
Is it really?
I believe so, yes. I can't remember. My wife and Christy are the ones that named all the characters.
That's awesome.
I am not good at that.
Okay, there's one or two more characters, right?
Yes, there is the Bishop, Bishop O, and he has a tie that he uses as a whip, and then he also has a key that gets him into any door, and he will pop out another door. And then there is a high-achieving mom, and the high-achieving mom, she has a baby around her, and the baby will cry, and the zombies will turn around. Or she has a homemade organic cleaner that will actually convert the zombies, and we're in the process of... There isn't going to be a lot of blood and guts or anything like that. It's pretty non-violent of sorts. So they will be turned into cuddly creatures instead of actually dying.
And her weakness, of course, is that she tries to take on too much and she can become easily fatigued, right?
Absolutely. We've based all our characters, on culture, and some of it's a little exaggerated, but some of it is actually too true to life.
I think it's just such an awesome and hilarious idea. So came up a couple years ago, you said, by your wife, and then you said, let's do this game. And now what do you need from people to do?
Well, we need people to go to Kickstarter and help us by donating and get us the money we need so that we can hire a programmer, an actual animator, because if you watch the video, I'm the one who did all the animation. And while it looks great, we could do a little bit better. And then just money to be able to market and promote the game and make sure that the quality control is there.
So will this be a game that I'll be able to play and invite my friends on Facebook, or is it going to be an app that I'll play on my phone, or what will be the outlet?
Initially, it's an iOS Android game.
Okay.
And so eventual plans will be a Mac PC and Facebook style game. But for now, the initial launch and the initial plans are for iOS and Android.
Awesome. Any idea on what you're hoping to charge for this thing as it comes out?
Somewhere between $3.99 and $6.99 based on, just looking around at what the most popular games are. And, we would like it to be popular. We would like it to be affordable. And we're just having a blast doing it.
Now, what are you going to do if you're not able to raise the money? I'm sure you'll be able to, but let's just speculate for a minute. Say you weren't able to.
We will figure out a way to make the game happen no matter what, because we think it's something that, it could be like a Napoleon Dynamite where it just ends up being a cult classic. It's just a matter of finding the right people, and it will go from there.
Perfect. Anything else that we need to know about the project?
The main thing is, we're trying to just celebrate the culture, and we don't have anything doctrinally based, so we're trying not to be offensive. But as we found, we've offended a couple of people already.
Really?
But yeah.
How has that offended people? Let's talk about that.
Just they felt like the way we were treating the culture was a little derogatory, and we're uncertain about that. But we've tried really hard to make sure that we're trying not to be derogatory, because we're making fun of ourselves, not necessarily making fun. We're being, we're celebrating and just, growing up, it's everything that, you can remember and that you like have fun with.
Having a sense of humor, though, Michael, is not okay.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely not.
It just goes to show you that you cannot there, even trying your very hardest, that you cannot please everyone.
Oh, absolutely. And we realized that going in, just having a game about Mormons, it was a 50-50 proposition whether or not, people were going to enjoy it or not, kind of like with the Book of Mormon musical, people either are offended or not. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen it yet, but it's one of those things where, from what I understand, it's actually really complimentary in many ways about Mormonism and things like that. So, mm-hmm. And that's kind of what we're hoping. We're hoping to create a dialogue so that it's something where people can come and play the game and have a lot of fun, but it's also a conversation starter too. Hey, have you played Mormons versus Zombies?
Well,
and
no, I haven't.
What's a Mormon? Well, I find out.
I would love to bring two people over to your house to tell you about
Absolutely.
What Mormons
and,
are.
You know, we have future plans for missionaries as characters. They just were a little harder to develop in our initial release, but in future releases, we plan on having a pair of missionaries that will play, and, you know, they'll be getting away on bikes and that kind of stuff. So,
oh, I think it's awesome. And I hope that, too, you'll have ads that go across the bottom of the screen for, like, receive a free Book of Mormon and links to the church and stuff like that, right?
Well, if the church is willing to pay for that, sure. We'll be willing to do that. We're doing this with no affiliation with the LDS Church, but we're willing to accept that kind of help.
Maybe,
that's for sure.
Maybe they'll give you a cut. They're like, listen, we can't actually give you money, but man, why don't you just pay 8%? Let's just do a straight 8% from
hey,
now.
Hey, I've been trying that one for years.
All right. Well, people can check it out. The link to the Kickstarter is at theculturalhall.com in association with this episode. All you folks involved are Mormon, yeah?
Yes, we are.
We like to ask people, and by the way, shame on you for never listening to the Cultural Hall before. I would hope that now that you've been a part of an episode that you will share it with folks around you.
Absolutely.
We ask everyone who steps into the Cultural Hall three questions, so I'll ask that to you right now. First of all, do you have a calling right now, and if so, what is it?
I am just currently a home teacher.
All right. If you could pick a calling for yourself, either one that exists or make up one, what would you pick? And why?
Nursery has been my favorite calling because I eat snacks and I make lots of noise.
Perfect. And then the last question that we ask is, what is your favorite part of your faith?
Favorite part of my faith is the expanded belief in the afterlife. Just recently losing my mom, it gives me comfort and hope.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you taking a few minutes. Look for the game. You said fall of next year, 2015, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Mormon versus Zombies, iOS and also Android, and then it'll expand to take over the world because that's what we Mormons do.
Absolutely.
I appreciate you taking a few minutes. In the second and third block, stick around. We're coming back and talking with Robert McIntosh. And thanks so much, Michael.
Hey, thank you.
Running a small business today can be difficult enough. Imagine all the work you have to do to market it. Imagine the hours you put in to create promotional materials for it. Now, imagine a partner that can help you with all of that and more. Imagine Lennon Design. Lennon Design is your partner in business when you need a professional look at a price you can afford. Whether it's websites, advertising media, promotional materials, and more, Lennon Design can help you promote your business. When you need creative, affordable designs, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
All right, on the phone with me right now, I have Robert McIntosh, author of the book, Choosing Your Eternal Companion, byline, Decoding the Dating Game. And let's get right into it. Robert, you're calling me. You guys are currently serving as, not mission presidents, but a service mission in Santa Barbara, is that right?
That's right, uh-huh. We're serving young single adults.
Oh, geez. And how long you been doing that for?
Well, this is our fourth mission, and we've been here for, 11 months.
Well, you got to leave some missions for other people. If you take care of all the missions, there won't be any work for anyone else to do.
Well, we need a lot more missionaries.
Now, you said this is your fourth mission as with your spouse, I'm assuming, or is that including your mission when you were a younger person?
No, that's with my spouse. We served first in India, then in the West Indies, and then we did a service mission in our stake for women at the prison, and also served as coordinators for the addiction recovery program.
Oh, my gosh. So, here I'm thinking that you're kind of a specialist in just the dating thing, but the women in the prison, that's like a whole different kind of thing. And in India and the West Indies, I'm betting it wasn't dating and that thing wasn't your focus there.
No, but it was young people. Every one of them were working with youth. So that's sort of been the story of my life and my occupation is working with young people.
Now, occupation, working with young people. So what did you do as a working man?
Well, I was a seminary and institute teacher for 34 years. And institute, I served the longest. So I've gotten to know young single adults, very well and love them. And that's why we're here doing this mission in Santa Barbara.
You've gotten to know them and you still like them? Good for you.
right. We do.
It's a unique set of challenges to the youth now. And when I figure when you say youth, I'm thinking you mean people like 18 to, 25? Or are we going a little bit broader than that?
18 to 30.
Okay. So let's talk about that then. What do you think is unique about 18 to 30 year old folks in the church today, as opposed to say when you were growing up?
Well, there's many different challenges. In fact, I really focus on this in the book in the first chapter, and that is the change in our culture relative to marriage and family. And I found and believe that the tipping point was the 1960s, when there were so many challenges that began to occur culturally relative to the hippie movement, the God is dead, mm-hmm. the free love, and all of that. And as I went through and studied what the prophets had said during the decades preceding the proclamation, it became much clearer to me why they gave the proclamation in 1995. And President Hinckley, when he presented to the Relief Society, said because of the devastating influences that have hit the family, and I think our young single adults are caught right at a point when the family is so much different than when I was raised as a young person. And the major differences within the church right now, at least, is that young people are getting married later, and it just seems to me that many of them are wondering, if I marry, will I divorce because of the high divorce rate? Mm-hmm. I hear so much about unhappiness in marriage. And one of the reasons that I wrote this book is I took the family proclamation paragraph by paragraph and applied it to young single adults and the challenges they're facing right now.
So when you talk about the fear of young adults, I see that a lot. I myself didn't get married until I was the age of 30, and I think part of that was fear. I think part of it was maturity, certainly, on
right.
my behalf. And then part of it, I really strongly believe that it was that I myself wasn't prepared and that my wife wasn't prepared, sort of for each other. I'm not saying that it's a soulmate and that she's the one person in the world that I could ever marry, but, I mean, there is a very particular type of person who I could be with. And had my wife and I met even, 3 years prior to when we met and decided to court and then date, it wouldn't have worked out.
Right. And I think, our young single adults are concerned about that. They're concerned about finances. They want to be you know, prepared when they're married to take care of the family. And the emphasis in our culture today on, should we say, anti-marriage and motherhood and so forth. And the proclamation really addresses many of the crucial issues that we're facing today. And that's why I wanted to gear the book to those who were not married and take the principles in the proclamation and apply it to that age group.
Let's chat about it a little bit, because for some people, for the younger end of the 18 to 34, I mean, they've only known the Family Proclamation, right? If it came out in 95, if I was an 18-year-old, 19-year-old person, that's already been announced before I was even born.
Right.
So it's all I've ever known. Let's talk about maybe specifically a couple of those instances where you do break it down. Let's go in a little deeper on it.
Well,
I know that's what you do in the book, but I want to just, like, a for example or give me a little tease of what I am going to read in the book, Choosing Your Eternal Companion.
Well, because of exactly what you've just said, Richie, the first chapter in the book is why this proclamation. And if a young person, you know, was born after it was given in September of 1995, it really gives them an overview of what had happened between the 60s and when this proclamation was given. I also talk about the fact that it was 15 prophets, seers, and revelators that gave this proclamation, one of which had not been given for at least 20 years. And in the history of the church, so far as I understand it, mm-hmm. there's only been four proclamations given, which just makes this so important for our day. And it becomes a guide for young people in choosing a marriage partner, and also preparing for marriage. And that's what I do in the book. I divide it into two sections. And the first part is, what can I do to become the right one? And I take the first six paragraphs of the proclamation and focus on that issue. And then the second part is, how do I go about knowing if this person and I, you know, may be compatible, and really focus in on certain issues that the proclamation talks about. So that's the way the book approaches it. And let me give you a couple of examples of what I'm talking about.
Please.
It seems to me that one of the issues that our young people face today is entering marriage with a positive feeling of self-worth, because that affects the ability to relate to the one they marry. Mm-hmm. And the proclamation is so focused on knowing who you are, who we are, that we're children of God, and that we have a divine purpose for being here and a divine destiny. And so I focus on that issue. I also focus on the importance of marriage and why the proclamation says that marriage is between a man and a woman. And I do a lot of quoting from apostles and prophets on that particular issue. Mm-hmm. And also talk about why it's important to marry. And, you know, the leaders of the church have talked for many years about that very issue. And I go into that. In the second section on determining who to marry, I look at issues such as when you are preparing to marry, you need to discuss certain issues.
Like what?
Like children. How do we feel about children?
I don't like them. I'm just teasing.
Well, no, but I think that's a critical issue. Another is, what kind of a father, if I'm a woman, do I want? Or, man, what kind of a mother? Because the proclamation focuses on that. It also looks at 10 foundation stones to a happy, successful marriage. And we don't live in a perfect world, so the proclamation also addresses the issue that there may be certain things that happen that are not perfect. Mm-hmm. Disability, death, and other issues. And I talk about that. What kinds of things may come up that, you know, we may not have anticipated, and how do we deal with that in marriage?
Hi, this is Dan, the laptop man from PC Laptops in Salt Lake City, where all of our computers have been hand-built in Utah for over 21 years. I've got the most amazing deal on the planet for you, the PC Laptops S1 desktop computer. It's a $2,000 computer for only $799. It has a blazing fast processor, so it's perfect for home, business, or back to school. A computer is only as good as its warranty. So how long is its warranty? 1 year? 10 years? Hang on, it's lifetime parts and labor. So everything is covered forever. Viruses, hard drives, RAM, everything. How much does it cost? $799. It's only $799. That's right, for a blazing computer that's warranted forever. You have nothing to lose. Quantities are highly limited. So run into any one of our 8 locations right now or call us at 1-877-596-SAVE or check us out at PCLaptops.com. A $2,000 computer for only $799 at PCLaptops.com. We love you.
It sounds like a tremendous resource for young people. How is it being received? Because I'm assuming the book, it's relatively newly published, but I'm betting that right. These are things that you've shared with the youth in your various callings and missions and opportunities to speak. The principles that you have and share, how have they been received?
Well, so far, the feedback I've gotten is even from some married people who say that this is a good refresher. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was interesting. It's been received well. One of the challenges right now is getting the word out that this book is available, and that's why I appreciate so much visiting with you.
Mm-hmm.
My first book that I wrote was entitled How Do You Know When You're Really in Love? And that was published by Deseret Book.
Mm-hmm.
This has been published by Cedar Fort. So there's a difference in the ability to market this book.
This not being your first kind of... what's the word I'm looking for? Dip into authoring a book and stuff like that. Why have a second thing, or what does the first book have to offer? Is it building off of the first book?
Well, the issue was the first book I wrote was before the proclamation.
Oh, really?
Right. And when the proclamation came out, immediately it hit me, I wish I'd have had this when I written the first book.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote this book totally focused on the family proclamation. And that's the major difference.
Choosing Your Eternal Companion by Robert McIntosh. People can get it, like you said, through Cedar Fort. You can also find it online, and that's where I'm looking at it right now. How much input into the whole thing does your wife have?
She had a tremendous amount. We dated when we were in high school. I went on a mission. She was still available.
Good for you. You got her to stick around. Or did she date other people and it just didn't work out?
She did, and she just happened to be single. and we've been married for over 50 years. And she went through the manuscript. She gave me suggestions. And a lot of what I have put in here comes from our own experience of being married for that long and the challenges that we faced in marriage and how the proclamation has helped us. And she has been my sweetheart for a long time.
Give me, before I let you go, give me, if you could just give like three pieces of advice for the young people who are listening to this, who want to check out this book, but just three, you know, very simple or very basic to understand kind of tips that you could just rattle off that would help them in choosing their eternal companion.
Okay, the first and major one would be that the proclamation is Scripture. And it was given by prophets, seers, and revelators, as I said earlier. And the importance of this is just for Latter-day Saints, particularly astronomical, because they very rarely do this. And so there was something extremely important that these 15 prophets wanted us to know. That's the first thing, is that who gave it to us. The second is that if it's applied, the proclamation, those principles are applied, the proclamation states that happiness in marriage and successful families are more likely to be achieved by following the teachings of the Lord. And that's what this book outlines, is what those teachings are. Mm-hmm. The third is the importance of preparing for marriage. So often we think, you know, I want to find the right one, mm-hmm. but the major issue is being the right one, so that when the right one comes along, we're prepared to have a relationship with that person. And I think the proclamation does a wonderful job of helping us do that.
Be specific. So, be specific for a second, though, on this third one, on the be prepared to be the right one. Give me some specific things that you feel like people need to do to be prepared to be the right one.
Well, one would certainly be having a testimony that we're guided by prophets. A second is having an eternal perspective of the family. Right now in the world today, you know, if it doesn't work out, we'll get divorced. The proclamation gives us an eternal perspective. Another one, as I've already said earlier, is coming to know ourselves and who we are, why we're here, our purpose in life. Another is staying morally pure for the person that we're going to marry. And the proclamation talks about that and how important it is that we marry for love, not just lust. Mm-hmm. And I really believe those are critical things. I've seen many marriages that were entered into simply for the physical part of the relationship, and that just does not last. And there's got to be substance, and we deal with that in the proclamation and in this book.
Do you feel like there's a certain amount of, as religious people, but specifically as Mormon people, that should we mess up, that sometimes we are our own worst enemy in making us not feel worthy to find the right one?
I think you're right. I really do. And the proclamation talks about repentance. And I focus on that also in the book, that if we've made mistakes, we've got a life ahead of us. Let's live for our future and not, live in the past. So that is also addressed. I'm teaching currently an institute class on the proclamation, and it's just been amazing to me to hear some of the things that the young adults tell me that they're struggling with. For example, how do I find somebody to marry? Mm-hmm. There's just not a lot of, particularly for young women, a lot of young men around. And that's a big issue. And another one is, how do I deal with the traditions of my family? Maybe I came from a family that was not a happy, successful one. Mm-hmm. How do I deal with that as I prepare for marriage? Because, you know, I don't want to pass on certain challenges that I faced in my own family. And so we look at that kind of thing.
I'm fascinated. I look forward to getting my hands on a copy of the book and being able to check it out. Though I'm married, I think it's a very valuable tool to be able to look at the family proclamation and apply a lot of these things into my marriage. So it's Robert McIntosh. The name of the book is Choosing Your Eternal Companion, Decoding the Dating Game Using the Family Proclamation. And
Richie?
Yeah.
I might say also it's on sale now on Amazon.
Oh, well, then people should buy it right now since it's on sale.
Yes, it is.
check it out. What's it run? What's the cost?
I think it was on Amazon for $10.95.
Oh, that's a steal of a deal. People can get that. I'm assuming there's an electronic version for people in their Kindles and iPads and all that stuff. So you can get it that way if that's how you want to do it. Again, Robert McIntosh, the name of the book, Choosing Your Eternal Companion, Decoding the Dating Game Using the Family Proclamation. You need to go knock some doors, young man. You need to go share the gospel, so I'll let you go and be back with your companion.
And thank you so much.
Wish you the best of luck.
It's been a pleasure. Okay, Richie, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat.